Picture a small town where everyone privately enjoys card games and drinks, yet publicly condemns these activities as sinful because they believe everyone else disapproves. This wasn't fiction. In 1928, researcher Richard Schenck discovered exactly this in Elm Hollow, New York, where a wealthy widow named Mrs. Salt had convinced an entire community to live a lie. Residents sneaked around doing what they enjoyed, certain their neighbors would judge them, while those same neighbors were doing the exact same thing. This bizarre social dance reveals something profound about human nature. We're remarkably skilled at fooling ourselves into believing falsehoods simply because we think others believe them. These collective illusions, shared misperceptions, where most people privately reject an opinion but conform because they incorrectly believe others accept it, shape everything from who we vote for to how we define success. They're the invisible architecture of modern life, and they're quietly ruining us. Consider the 2020 Democratic primary. Elizabeth Warren topped polls asking voters who they'd choose if you had a magic wand to guarantee victory, yet ranked third in actual voting intention. This is strategic discrimination. We don't vote for candidates because we assume others won't. 79% of Americans believe women are equally capable as presidents, and data confirms women win elections at identical rates when they run. Yet this self-fulfilling prophecy persists. Brain imaging reveals that learning about others' preferences, even fabricated ones, physically rewires our value processing regions to prioritize popularity over personal preference. The COVID-19 toilet paper shortage exemplified this perfectly. Despite knowing rationally there was no supply disruption, millions hoarded because others seemed to believe there was a shortage. We created real scarcity from imagined fear. When people define situations as real, they become real in their consequences. Tim McCabe needed a kidney transplant and discovered something shocking. Despite thousands dying on waitlists, nearly 1 in 5 donated kidneys gets discarded. When someone at the top of the queue rejects a kidney, others assume something's wrong with it. Nobody wants to be the fool who accepted the bad organ. Our brains seek verification by copying people who appear more knowledgeable, especially under uncertainty. In one experiment, 75% of solo participants reported smoke pouring from a vent, but only 38% did when surrounded by others who ignored it. We fear embarrassment more than danger. Bogota's mayor weaponized this by replacing corrupt traffic police with mimes who publicly mocked violators, helping reduce traffic deaths by 50% over 10 years. A 2010 plane crash tragically demonstrated the opposite. Passengers saw a flight attendant rush toward the cockpit after spotting a crocodile on board and followed in sequence. Their combined weight destabilized the aircraft. We surrender private judgment to crowd authority, sometimes fatally. Christine Miller challenged Jim Jones's suicide plan at Jonestown, but succumbed to group pressure, an identity trap overriding survival instincts. Our brains are hardwired for tribal connection. Oxytocin, released during bonding, increases feelings of love while making us adopt our group's mistaken views and defend against outsiders. The term ostracize comes from ancient Athens, where citizens voted to banish unpopular individuals by writing names on pottery shards. Even honorable Aristides was expelled, ironically inscribing his own name for an illiterate voter who found his reputation for justice annoying. Our brains process social rejection like physical pain, activating identical neural mechanisms. Stanley Schachter's experiments revealed how groups handle dissent. When a Confederate took an extreme opposing view, groups initially tried persuasion, but eventually ostracized him. Most disturbingly, the most cohesive groups rejected dissenters fastest. 75% cut off communication after just 35 minutes. Belonging isn't just comfort, it's survival. When we stay quiet about our true opinions, we strengthen the very illusions that constrain us. Elizabeth Noel Neumann's spiral of silence theory reveals how fear of isolation leads people to suppress views they believe are unpopular. Every time we avoid confronting problematic comments or discriminatory practices, we perpetuate false consensus. Self-censorship has reached unprecedented levels. While only 13% of Americans felt constrained during McCarthy's Red Scare, 62% now fear expressing opinions others might find offensive. Surprisingly, self-censorship increases with education. 77% of Republican college graduates report self-censoring, compared to 52% of Democrats with degrees. Social media has democratized bullying. Anyone with a smartphone can trigger massive waves of judgment. Cultural critic Mark Fisher termed this the vampire castle, describing Twitter storms that leave a horrible residue of witch-hunting moralism. Social bots worsen this by artificially amplifying fringe views. When Twitter shut down 6,000 bot accounts retweeting Venezuela's President Maduro, his retweet count dropped 81%. Yet breaking silence can transform everything. When Alyssa Milano's 2017 hashtag MeToo tweet encouraged survivors to share stories, millions responded worldwide, shattering false consensus and creating space for authentic dialogue. Bob Delaney went undercover to infiltrate New Jersey mob families in an assignment that stretched from 6 months into years. As Bobby covered, he adopted their swagger, language, and lifestyle while secretly gathering evidence. The psychological toll was severe: heart palpitations, chronic illness, violent impulses. He even contemplated murder to escape. Bob's case exemplifies what Carl Rogers called an incongruent life, being in conflict with oneself. Today's America incentivizes such incongruence through constant impression management. Jason Blair, who fabricated New York Times stories, rationalized crossing ethical lines. "I'm a good person, and I did this, so somehow this has to be okay." Our brains work overtime during deception, activating emotion and conflict centers, the same ones responsible for fight or flight responses. Yet we're naturally wired for truth. When German participants flipped coins with monetary rewards for claiming tails with no verification, results showed a roughly 50-50 split, rather than everyone lying for profit. Being truthful triggers dopamine, making us happier, while deception activates warning signals. The cost of living incongruently isn't just moral, it's neurological, psychological, and ultimately unbearable. In 1970s communist Czechoslovakia, a greengrocer displayed, "Workers of the world, unite," not from belief, but fear. Vaclav Havel's essay, "The Power of the Powerless," showed how complicity maintains oppression. When the greengrocer refused and spoke up, others followed, exposing the regime's facade. Though imprisoned 4 years, Havel's spark ignited the Velvet Revolution. Nearly a million protested, forcing the government's bloodless surrender within days. In 1990, Jerry and Monique Sternen tackled Vietnam's childhood malnutrition with 6 months to show results. They found poor families with well-nourished children, families adding tiny shrimp and sweet potato greens to meals, feeding children more frequently. Through community cooking demonstrations, mothers shared these practices. Within 2 years, 80% of formerly malnourished children were properly nourished. Reclaiming our power requires daily commitment to personal congruence and vulnerability that cracks collective illusions. A system built on lies cannot withstand truth's light. Taking authentic responsibility means setting an example, refusing silence when conscience calls, questioning assumptions, embracing differences, trusting others. As Havel understood, only by creating a better life can a better system be developed. We're not as divided as we're told. Together, one honest conversation at a time, we dispel the illusions that bind us.